So I want to give you all a very warm welcome. Glad that I have the privilege to speak the gospel this evening. And if this is your first time hearing a message like this, well, a very special welcome to you as well. So I'm not going to necessarily read a lot from the scriptures. I will be quoting many verses as we go through this message. But before we get started, there's just one little verse I want to plant in your mind. And think about it. We're going to come to it as we get through the message. And I think at the end of this message, you're really going to understand what that means. And that's a little part of a verse in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And it says this: "For by grace, that is the kindness of God, by grace are you saved through faith." So that verse basically is telling us that the only way to be safe is through faith. Now just park that away in your minds, and we'll come to that in a little while. As you know, as the introduction made it clear, the title for our message today is Faith or Fiction. Now, I think most of all are familiar with what fiction means. You know, you go down to the library at school or university, or maybe at the city council library, and there's this large section on one side of the library, and it's got fiction written on every shelf. It's the place where all the books that are filed away there, they're all stories. They're made up stories that aren't real. And so there's some people who think that the Bible should go on those shelves as well. But be that as it may, I think we all have a pretty clear understanding of what fiction means. It's stories and stuff that is not real. But what about faith? What would be your definition of faith? I want to challenge you all tonight as you think of that. If you had to write down what is faith, what would you say? Well, we hear people say lots of things today about faith. You know, people talk about faith equaling religion. And of course, it doesn't. Faith does not equal religion, but that's how a lot of people speak about it. We hear about at least in Canada here, maybe in Australia there as well, we've been hearing lately about faith-based gatherings. Well, what's that mean? Faith-based gatherings. Are we using this in the way the Bible uses it? And so these are good questions. So what is your definition? Would you say it's just airy-fairy stuff? It's delusional. Now, it might be a good idea to believe a few things in the Bible, but it's just airy-fairy stuff. Well, tonight we're going to take a look at this question, faith or fiction. And I want to spend a fair bit of the first part of my message tonight looking at what the Bible will teach us about what faith is. There was a well-known author in the early 1900s, which is, for the younger ones, just over 100 years ago. And so this well-known author, who I won't name, he once defined faith as this. He said, "Believing faith is believing that what you know ain't so." That's what a lot of people think faith might be. Some people would think of faith as, you know, a chasm, a gap, a crack in the ground, if you like, a big gap. And that you just need to sort of, in order to get a, you can't really bridge that, don't really understand it, and you need faith to get across it. And some people, you'd say, "Well, what do you believe in the Bible?" And they would say, "Well, I don't really understand it, but I suppose I've just got to have some faith and believe it." Well, is that what the Bible calls faith? Absolutely not. Faith is not blind faith and just hoping that if you don't understand it, it's going to be okay. That's not what Bible faith is all about. Some people would think of that chasm and think, well, faith is a bit like this. You know, there's like a bridge part of the way across, and our logic and our understanding can take us so far. And then we've just got to bridge that gap with our faith. Kind of, you hear the expression like take a leap of faith. Is that what the Bible talks about when it talks about faith, taking a leap of faith? Absolutely not. The Bible does not speak about faith like this. It's not a strong feeling in my heart. What I want to make clear tonight, I'm going to repeat this several times. So understand this. What the Bible teaches us about faith is that faith is based on real facts, and it produces real acts. So faith, Bible faith, is based on real facts, and it produces real acts. Another verse I want us to think about tonight is found in, or today rather, sorry, is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it's verse 7. And it's a very small verse again. This is what it says. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." That's interesting, isn't it? So if we break this verse down, what it's saying is that faith is not equal to sight. And we know that sight is one of our senses. And in fact, all of our five human senses, the things that you see and the things that make up all of the life that we live as natural human beings, all of those things, our senses provide us information. We see these things and we base our decisions based on what we can see and feel. That's what it would be to live by sight. But this verse tells us that faith, therefore, if faith is not by sight, it tells us that faith trusts information that lies beyond what we can see and what we can sense. So faith, as I've said, is based on real facts. And it is when we trust in information that we cannot see with our eyes. I want to give you an example about that. So I'm going to assume that several of you, if not many of you, have never been to Vancouver in Canada. You're going to have to trust me when I describe it as a city that's beside the water, beside the coast, and you can look in all four directions from the city of Vancouver, and you can see mountains. To the north, they're very close, and to the west and to the south, they're on the horizon, and there's this big mountain and a mountain range to the east. And I could go on and describe to you what Vancouver looks like, and though you've never seen it, your eyes have never seen it, You could trust, if I was a reliable witness, you could trust my words and I could describe it to you. So that's a little bit about what this verse is telling us about, that when we live by faith, when we make decisions by faith, we're making them not by sight, not by our senses, but as we're going to see today, it's based on real facts. So biblical faith is having confidence in something that's real, that we haven't experienced with our senses yet. It's not believing without a reason. And then there's another verse in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, and it was the Apostle Paul speaking there, and he said, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So that's the second thing we want to learn about faith tonight. Not only is it seeing things and understanding things by listening to someone who has seen them, and knowing that it's a fact, but it's also based on the word of God. So Bible faith is based on what God has written. I want to speak just very briefly. We can't spend much time on it, but you think about a company that produced financial reports, and every year it produces reports, and it would state at the bottom in the footnote, you know, it's forecasting what's going to happen next year. People are going to make financial decisions based on it. And a footnote says that past performance is no guarantee of future success. There's always this uncertainty around what's going to happen in the reliability. But what if a company could produce reports that would forecast out 5, 10, 20 years and be exactly right? We would have to say that there would be a new standard that's created, isn't there? A new standard of reliability. Well, my friend, what I want to tell you from the scriptures, from God's word, is that there's nothing more reliable than God's word. We could go back into the Old Testament, and we go to a prophecy by a prophet named Daniel that God gave to him. And there Daniel had received words from God about the history of human events that would follow in years and decades and centuries later after Daniel lived. And so the emergence of Greece as a nation was unheard of in Daniel's day, and yet it happened exactly as God had said in his word. There was the defeat of the Medo-Persian Empire. There was the prominence of Alexander. You might have read about Alexander the Great in your history lessons at school, well, God had predicted the rise and the conquering and the death of King Alexander in the book of Daniel. So God has recorded history. He wrote down history long before it happened to the absolute degree of accuracy with zero error. And that is how reliable God's word is. And then, of course, he predicted the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ several hundred years before he came. So we could say when we come to the word of God, hearing is faith is by hearing the word of God. And we could say that indeed God's past performance is a guarantee of future things. And it's a guarantee of future reality. So if God has said it, we know it is absolutely true. There was an occasion I don't want to tell you about in Matthew chapter 17. We read about this, verse 20. The Lord Jesus was moving through the country of Israel. And this is what he said. He said, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Now, this is the way I understand that verse. The Lord Jesus is not saying that we can just imagine something by faith. Faith is not fiction. We don't come up with something that that we've just imagined. What the Lord Jesus was doing, you notice it says in this verse, it says, "Say to this mountain." And I believe the Lord Jesus was looking at another mountain around Jerusalem. And he says, if you look at this mountain and say about this mountain, it's going to be removed. You see, what is happening is the Lord is not saying that you could just imagine by faith, imagine something and it will happen. But way back in the Old Testament that all these people had and read, God has promised that there's still a coming day. It hasn't happened yet, not even in our day. It will happen in the future because of God's reliable word that those mountains will be made low and that the Mount of Zion will be lifted up. And so faith doesn't move mountains. It doesn't work like that. It's just believing in the word of God. Faith cannot move mountains. It cannot do that. But what it can do, it can grasp what God has said about those mountains. And it can understand that if God has said those mountains will be removed in a coming day, a person could go today to Jerusalem and stand in that same spot and say the same thing. And people might look at them and look at them funny and think, how can you say that? And they say, well, the word of God says it. And so that's a little lesson that faith is not fiction. Faith is not moving mountains and imagining things, but it's trusting in the word of God. Another thing we learn from that verse is that there's no minimum quantity, really, of faith. You either have faith or you don't. The scriptures we're going to come to in a little while in Hebrews chapter 11 is a long list of people, moments in their lives. It's not a story about all of their life, but there's moments of decisions that they made in their lives where it says, by faith, so-and-so made a choice, made a decision, and based their decision upon what they had from the word of God. And so we find that we either have faith in a moment of decision or we don't. And so whether I may be speaking to someone today who maybe feels that they don't have enough or they don't think they could have enough faith, let me tell you, dear friend, Bible faith is just believing what God has said. Bible faith is based on real facts that God has revealed, and it produces real acts. And so there's no minimum quantity of faith needed. You just need to trust in what God has revealed, the things that we cannot see with our eyes, but that God has revealed in his word. Now we need to move along here. Not only is faith about moving mountains? No. Faith is about believing in the word of God. Is faith about imagining immunity? You know, there's folks in the world today that feel, that think that their faith can rescue them from difficulty and from suffering, even from diseases like COVID. And they think that if they go to church and do the right things, that their faith will deliver them from that. But God has never promised such a thing in his word to the people who live in our day. And so faith is not imagining things. imagining some immunity from difficulties, but it's believing in the word of God. And also, faith is not a wishing well. You know, like, you know what a wishing well is? You throw in a coin and make a wish and hope that it will come to pass. You read in storybooks, some storybooks in Christian stores even tell these wonderful stories about how people had were hungry, and the story says that they had their faith, and the way it's written, it's because of their faith they opened the door the next morning and there was a paper bag full of bread and food for them to have. You know, faith doesn't imagine things and wish for things and expect them to happen, not at all. Faith is based on the word of God. It's the goodness of God that provides for us when we're in need, and it's not. Faith is just trusting in the word of God and trusting in God's will no matter what happens. So faith is based on real facts. Now, faith produces real acts. Now, we're getting through these principles here, and we're going to apply it in the gospel very shortly. When we think about faith being based on real acts, I come to think about, you know, God doesn't just reveal things to us in his word so that we can store it away in our mental libraries. He reveals unseen truths to us so that we'll act upon it. Faith is based on real facts that God has revealed, things we cannot see, but they're very real. And it produces real acts. Before this world knew what a raindrop was, there was a man who lived named Noah. Now, I'm sure the story is familiar to many of us, but Noah, the scriptures tells us, was warned of God of things not seen as yet, and he moved and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You know, God had promised to and revealed to Noah that he would send rain. He'd never seen a flood before. Noah hadn't. And so he had a decision to make. Was he going to go with what he could see in life and the senses and make his choice, saying, is God right or is he wrong? But Noah had to trust God for the things that he could not see. You know, what if Noah had been building his ark and he, after a long day of hammering and of soaring, and he's just banging into the nails into the wood, and he stops and he thinks, you know, what am I doing here? This will never work. What if Noah had just put down his tools and packed up and gone home and just lived the rest of his life enjoying the things of this world? You know what would have happened? Do you know what would have happened? Well, first of all, there was no rest of his life to be had. God would have come in and did sweep away the world, and Noah would have gone. And, you know, there would be none of us standing here, none of us here on the face of the earth today. God would have judged all humanity that day if Noah had not by faith built an ark to the saving of his soul. So Noah, although he did not see things with his eyes, God had revealed things that were real to him, and he saw them and he grasped that, and he made his decision based on that. So faith based on real facts revealed by God, and it produces real acts. Noah acted on his faith and he built an ark to the saving of his soul. What about Moses? We could think about Moses and the same thing. You know, Moses, God had told to him that he would lead him and the children of Israel to a promised land, back from Egypt to the land of Canaan. You know, what if Moses had been standing at the edge of the Red Sea? God had told him to lift up his staff, his rod, and God and see the salvation of the Lord. What if Noah had stood there at the sea with the people of Israel behind him and the army of Egypt further back, looking at the waves, wondering, is this real? Is it going to happen? God said it, but I don't think it's going to happen. And what if he said, nah, it's not going to work? You know, he would have perished, but he didn't. And the Bible tells us that by faith, Moses, on several occasions, the Bible tells us Moses acted by faith. He made decisions that here and there by faith, acting on what he couldn't see, but God had revealed in his word. Moses, it says, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, this is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, he endured as seeing him who is invisible, that is God. I wonder today, my friend, through the word of God, what you know the word of God says, can you see reality that God has revealed in his word? By faith, they pass through the Red Sea. So we come to consider this, that faith is based on real facts. It's not imagination. It's not fiction. Faith is based on real facts, and it produces real acts. So really what Hebrews 11 is telling us, it says that faith considers the word of God, the words of God, as reliable evidence, and understands that there are things that we cannot see, but that are still very real. And it also is the firm assurance, which what that verse calls substance or the solid fact, the firm assurance of realities that we look forward to, that God has described in his word. So faith is based on real facts and produces real acts. Now, before we go into the next section of my message, I just want to do a check-in with you all, just to sit, make sure that if there's been a distraction, that we put it down, maybe a phone or something, because the next section of our message is quite serious. The next section of the message applies all of these things that we've learned to us today in the gospel. So pay attention, please. We have seen that faith is based on real facts. So I want to ask you a few things and investigate a few things from the scriptures. The first I want to think real realities. First that I want to think about is heaven. Do you think heaven is a real place? You know, in all due respect to them, your friends at school, or if you're an adult, maybe and you're used to living like everyone else in the world lives, your friends down at the local club, they know nothing about heaven. They've never seen it. They've never been there. They don't even know the way there. And many of them don't even think that heaven exists. In order for us to know if heaven is real or not, my friend, we need to listen to the words of someone who has been there and has actually seen it and can tell us about it. Just like you needed to trust me, if you've never been to Vancouver, you would need to trust my words as I describe it to you so that you know it's real, what it really is like. The reliable witness, in fact, the only person who ever came from heaven and lived on this earth to tell people about it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said in John chapter 8 and verse 23, he said unto them, you are from beneath, that's us, all of us, we're from beneath, we live in this world. But he said, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. So my dear friend, if you've never thought about that before, may this word of God strike into your heart and impress upon your mind that there is a real place, because we have the words, the reliable words of one who came from heaven into this world, and he's told us it's real. He's been there. Would you trust the fiction that you might hear from your friends that say heaven doesn't exist? Or would you trust and see, like Noah and Moses and Abraham saw, the realities that God revealed by his word? My dear friend, heaven is a real place. Are you going there? Are you? What about hell? What do you think about hell? Is it real? Have you thought about that question? You know, if we want to know whether hell is real or not, then we need some reliable information. If we wanted to know all about the latest airliner that was flying in the skies, we would have to go to the people who made it to understand all about it to be absolutely sure what it was like. But when it comes to hell, we need to go to the one who made it. What does he say about it? He says that hell was made for the devil and his angels, his demon attendants. So my friend, there you have it. God who made the earth in which we live, God who made the aerial heavens, God who dwells eternally in heaven that we were just talking about. He has made a real place called hell. Now, that place wasn't designed for you. It wasn't made for you. It wasn't made for us. It was made for the devil and his angels because they had sinned against God. But, you know, what God has also revealed is that after our lives are over, our life comes to an end, our bodies are put in the grave, and our soul, which we cannot see again, God has said we have a soul inside that will go into eternity. And so the Bible tells us that there's going to come a day for everyone who is not saved, who is not safe, not saved by faith. Everyone is going to stand before a great white throne. And it tells us there in Revelation that there was found no place for them. You know, the heaven, the earth was all burned up and it's gone. The earth on which you stand, dear friend, have you realized that God has said it's going to burn in flame and there's going to be nothing left and you'll be standing in eternity? And it says, the scriptures say that there was found no place for them and the only place they could go to was hell. And then it was taken into the eternal lake of fire. So God has revealed things that we cannot see. And they're very real places. Dear friend, heaven is a reality. And there was no place found for the sinners who stood before the great white throne. What that means, dear friend, is if you are not saved by faith, then you'll stand there too. And there'll be no place for you to go in eternity other than to perish and be judged for sin in the lake of fire. What about the cross? Let me come to the cross now. I want to think about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So history, we can go to history and easily confirm that there was a man named Jesus who died in crucifixion on a cross in Jerusalem. These are not beyond the realm of historical records to confirm that. We know that there was, by history, these events that took place. So when the Bible says to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God is not, in that verse, asking people to believe that there was a man named Christ Jesus who came into this world. But let me tell you this, dear friend, what God has revealed is that that was the Son of God. And God has clearly, through speaking about it in the prophets and telling us that he would come, through the proofs in the life of the Lord Jesus, God has proven to us that he was the Son of God. And faith is not really required to understand that Jesus died upon a cross. But dear friend, what faith is necessary for, and that God has revealed, is that his death was to save sinners, was to save people from their sin and to take away the sin of the world. And so faith is necessary. You see, again, faith is based on real facts that we cannot see, but that God has revealed in his word. Can you see these things, dear friend, can you grasp the word of God that says these things are real? That when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, the Son of God, bearing shame and scoffing rude, can you say, in my place, condemned, he stood. Hallelujah, what a savior. Will you reconsider your view of the cross tonight if you haven't done it already? When the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it means. It means just believe what God has revealed about his only Son, that there he died on the cross for sinners and that he died for you to set you free. Was it for me? The favorite hymn says, for he bowed his head upon the cross and freely shed his precious blood, that crimson tide. Was it for me? The Savior died. It was for me, the refrain says. Yes, all for me, O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord and King. What about his resurrection? Again, history confirms by the witnesses of the Lord Jesus. You know, when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, there were more than 500 people that saw him. And in that whole period of time, the years after, many people could have written into history their objections to this fact, but they didn't. And the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And you know, his resurrection from the dead proves to us that God's word is accurate, and it proves that the Son of God was everything that he says he said he was. So, dear friend, if you're not saved tonight, if you don't think this is real, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ proves that God's Son was everything he said he is. And if that is true, then my friend, you're on your way, and it is true, you're on your way to eternity, not saved yet. Do you understand that the only way to be saved is by faith, trusting in the word of God? So faith is based on real facts that God has revealed. It just grasps them, and it produces real acts. Now, seeing everyone logging on there tonight, I know many of you, some I don't. So let me just say, let's use a pseudonym. Let's say Jack. Let's say your name is Jack. You can put your name in Jack's place if you wish. Could it be said of Jack that after listening to the facts that are revealed in the words of God, that Jack realized that eternity and hell and heaven, they're real places, and that he needed to be forgiven of his sin by God? And so Jack understood that the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was to meet the penalty of his sin. And by faith, Jack decided to act on it and repent and turn to God and trust in his only well-beloved Son for salvation, because that is what God has commanded. So Jack saw the facts that he couldn't see with his eyes and his senses, but because God has revealed them in his word, Jack saw these things are real, and he acted by faith and trusted in the unseen but very real Savior for eternity. Could that be your story, dear friend? Yes, faith is not a complex thing. It is very simple. It's just trusting the realities that God has revealed and believing him for salvation. Someone might be wondering, why do we need faith anyway? What kind of game is God playing with us? Why is all this faith necessary? You know, I struggle to understand it. Why couldn't God just, if these things are real, as you say, why couldn't God just show us these things anyway, so we could see them for ourselves, and then we could just believe him, right? Well, the reason, my friend, is this. You know, our eyes, our physical eyes that we have in this body, is not capable of seeing these things that God is describing. It's not capable of seeing eternity, and it's not capable of seeing hell. And it's not really capable. We know through history that Jesus of Nazareth died on the cross, but that naturally, we're not capable of actually seeing that he died for our sins. But God has revealed these things, their realities. So our eyes can't see. But so think about this, my friend. If God took you to the point, let's say God could take you to the point where you could actually see it, that would mean God would have to take you right to the edge of creation, if you like, to at least the edge of his realm. I'm not saying that it's far off. The scriptures tells us that God is very near every one of us. We just cannot see eternal things. But God would have to take you to the edge of his realm of eternity. And you would have to take one step in to that realm to be able to see these things that he's describing to you. But the problem then, my friend, is once you're there, there's no coming back. And once you're there, once you're in eternity, your destination is sealed. And if you're not saved by faith, then there's, as we saw, there's no place in all of the world, no place in eternity. There was found no place for them, the sinners, that they could go to other than go down to the hell and the eternal lake of fire. So, my dear friend, these things are serious. And that's why God has to describe these things to us. That's why faith is required to just believe on what God has described. And as we've said, faith is based on real facts revealed by God, and it produces real acts, just repenting, realizing that, and the act is to just repent and to trust in the words of the Lord Jesus, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Faith alone, this was the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached in the New Testament. Faith alone in Christ alone, through his death and his resurrection. Why don't you trust that tonight, dear friend? For by grace, by God's grace, are you saved, safe, through faith. So faith or fiction? We often talk about fact or fiction. Obviously, the title is a play on that common term, fact or fiction. But tonight, it's faith or fiction. And God presents to you a choice. The choice is yours to make. But these two are incompatible. You cannot have both. It's either one or the other. So my dear, what will you choose? Will you choose faith in the real facts that God has revealed of eternal matters? How you need to be right for eternity before you're there. My dear friend, will you choose faith? Or will you be like some who hear and then go home, go back to what you were doing an hour or two ago, and just live your life based on what you can see? Let me tell you, dear friend, from the word of God, that what we can see, it's not everything. It's only part of the story. And if it's not part of the story, it's not the full story, and therefore it is fiction. To live your life thinking there's nothing to worry about, that's fiction. But what we present to you today is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. So faith or fiction, what will you choose? Make your choice today. Make your choice wisely and simply trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's pray.